like tidal waves crash against the shore. Questions answered, roles reversed. You open up the door. Inhibitions thrown to the wind. You're searching for the root. The problem lies deep in the ground. The answer follows soon.
Show, I have an exclusive interview that I did with Rob Damon, who is the executive director of the TD Kitchener Blues Fest. Anyway, I just started off the show with a bit of blues, of course, because, you know, it's Blues Fest is happening. Oh, it starts, you know, it starts Thursday with Buddy Guy. He's, you know, on the main, like, he's the kickoff concert at the Clock Tower stage. And then, you know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all three stages are going to be just hopping. Between the, you know, the festival main stage, the downtown Kitchener BIA stage, and the Clock Tower stage, Victoria Park. Plus the Friday 12 Bar Blues series. That happens late night, which is so much fun. And then on Sunday, the 12 Bar Blues happens at 7:30. at Bobby O'Brien's. So, you know, there's like all kinds of places to be. And I had fun with Rob. He's in the middle of doing all kinds of stuff, as you can imagine. And I met him at Kitchener City Hall, and we were, you know, talking about all the different bands that are coming in and the special showcases and stuff like that. So I'm going to play one more track off the Got Mojo Grand River Blues Society CD, and then I'm going to air this interview that I did with Rob at Kitchener City Hall. So I think there's like a whole bunch of people playing. This band... Well, we all love this band, and they're coming to an end soon. They're a local band. We all love them. Daddy Long Legs, and I think their famous last show is coming up in September, and everybody's, you know, probably going to attend that one. But they're also playing the Saturday 12-bar blues at Morty's Pub in Waterloo. So why don't I stick on some Daddy Long Legs here from the same CD, and then I'm going to play a little bit of the interview I did with Rob Damon of Coral FM.
You what you want, yet I can get you what you need. What you need, what you need, what you need. Society, you're wasting your time, girl. Your time with me. There'll be no private jet, no fancy car, no hot shake pool with a swim up tiki bar. Get you what you want. I can get you what you need. 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 What you need, what you need.
Daddy Long Legs on Coral FM. And now here is a feature interview that I did with executive director of the TD Kitchener Blues Fest, Rob Damon, on location on Coral FM. Rob Damon, you're about to do sign. You're making signs or something like that at City Hall?
We're just sorting the signage for our three major stages so that they can be effectively deployed
by
today, tomorrow, and Friday, and so they'll be able to assist our guests to find their way through the festival sites.
By the massive volunteer base.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is great. Well, I want to rewind here for a minute. How long has the Blues Festival been going, for people that don't know?
This is our 14th year.
Okay.
We started as a one-day, one-stage festival in 2001, and Mel Brown was the headliner, and
yep.
John McKinley was the first act to walk on the stage,
yep.
which was really cool. We attracted about 3,000 folks. Nice sunny afternoon. Everyone thought it was such a great idea. Let's do it again next year. So we've kept doing it. We've grown, obviously, over the 14 years. This year we have six stages, normally seven.
Okay.
The Boathouse was not ready for
prime time
as a workshop, it will be next year.
Yeah.
And so we've already talked to the new operators, and they're anxious, and we're anxious to have the Boathouse come back on as a festival venue next year.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Can you outline some of the highlights of this year's festival, and have there been any significant changes between this year and last year that you can think of?
I think the festival is going to be very similar in format to the past festivals. The Clock Tower stage is open a little later, both on Friday and Saturday night.
Okay.
Till 10:45 on Friday and Saturday night. And the reason for that is to try to split the audience, so that we're not having such a large audience at the main stage all at one time,
mm-hmm.
as the last act of the night. So we want to have people feel comfortable and create some breathing space at all of our sites. So by having all of the sites operate almost to 11 enables us to do that. So that's sort of the biggest change in the breadth of the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the really neat features this year, we're doing a career retrospective of Tom Wilson, who's an iconic Canadian artist.
Yes.
And he's played in this region lots of times. He's got a legion of fans in this region.
He does. I remember him when he used to be Tom Wilson, the Florida Razors.
Oh, absolutely.
I worked at the back door. He came down, gave me an EP, and I said, what?
Yeah.
And now he's, Tom Wilson Junkhouse. This is cool. These are all you're doing some interesting retrospectives this year.
Yeah, so this is his career retrospective, and we're calling it Tom Wilson Thus Far. on Friday night, his band, Lee Harvey Osmond, is at the BIA stage, which is at King and Frederick.
Yes.
Saturday afternoon is the anniversary of Junkhouse. I believe it's their 20th anniversary. They're playing at our main stage.
Mm-hmm.
And closing out the Clock Tower stage, the OLG Clock Tower stage on Sunday, is Blackie and the Rodeo Kings.
That's great.
And
we're
really excited that some of the individual members of Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, Colin Linden, is going to be doing a set. And
yep.
Colin Linden, is internationally famous.
He works with all kinds
of
people.
So many Grammy Award winners, and the Langlois, and on and on and on. And Stephen Fearing, who also has an incredible pedigree, so he'll be doing a solo set as well.
Yeah, I think that's amazing.
So we're really excited about that. So it's hard to publicize that as a feature, but it's a really cool artistic thing that's happening at our festival. The second thing that we're doing is on Sunday, we're theming all of the stage at the BIA stage at King and Frederick. It's an Acadian, mm-hmm. Cajun Zydeco showcase.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be kind of a Mardi Gras feel at that stage all day Sunday. So Sunday starts off with our gospel pancake breakfast. And you know the gospel breakfasts are huge in New Orleans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so it's great.
That's like a New Orleans tradition. So that'll kick it off. And Diana Braithwaite and Chris Whiteley and Chris with his horn. It will be a great way to announce.
It is. The breakfasts are always, they're wonderful, and they have a great turnout, too. And that's lots of fun because
absolutely.
And
the next act is Swamparella from Toronto, who have dedicated their, I think it's 15 to 20-year career to traditional Cajun music.
Okay.
So there'll be lots of fiddles, lots of French, lots of two-step, the direct line of sight between this kind of music and where it actually originated from, which is from the Cajun, French-Canadian part of this coast. And as we all know, there was a forced migration from Acadia down to Louisiana. So the Cajuns in Louisiana are directly connected to our Canadian heritage. So we're trying to connect those dots for people and let them know that the blues has a lot of different pathways.
It does.
And probably our most significant pathway in Canada is the Acadian music.
Mm-hmm.
Following Swamparella is Kevin Bright, an amazing world music guitar player who can play any style, but he would really fit in that format. After him is a very saucy act called Rosie Ledette and the Zydeco Playboys.
Okay, they're new. I don't know. Okay, that's
they're,
new
they're,
to me.
They're massive. They're really big on the Cajun Zydeco scene and a great act, high energy, a little naughty in terms of their...
Good.
So lots of double entendres in their music, but all fun, like great fun.
Swing.
once Rosie's finished her set, then we'll close the free admission festival at that point, at that stage, and we'll turn it over to our closing concert, which will be opening with Otis Taylor. And Otis finished up last year's festival.
Yeah, that's right. That was great.
And people who saw him know a unique form of blues, which he calls transport, but very unique instrumentation, violins, banjos. So it really fit in with that. It'll connect the dots to Chicago, you know, more of a Chicago straight on blues connection. And then we're really, really thrilled about this, is that we have 3-time Grammy Award winning, the most famous Cajun band in the entire world, Beau Soleil, avec Michael Doucette, their leader, and they'll finish off the whole festival.
So we're going to have our own mini Treme up here, which will be great.
Absolutely. And I believe Beau Soleil are part of that soundtrack, so...
Yeah, Ultra Moods, I mean, you know, get on a lineup and you just want to party.
So that whole afternoon at the King and Frederick stage is going to be big fun. Tickets are available.
Okay.
And they're $20 at our festival merch booths during the festival, and then $25 at the door, so it's a very inexpensive ticket.
That's a really reasonable price.
And it will be a blast.
Yeah, this is new. So this is a highlight this year.
This is a new highlight. This is probably the most distinctive, unique thing that we're doing.
Just to let people know, what's the economic impact when a festival like this comes to town? Because there's people downtown, vendors, all kinds of people.
Well, we hire a research firm, Enigma Research from Toronto, and they do work for a whole host of different festival and events in North America and some international ones. I may be misspeaking, but I believe they've done the Rose Bowl, but they do major festivals and events, and they do ours as well. So last year, they estimated, based on our number of visits, and a free admission festival, it's really difficult to get a sense of what that actually is, but we are able to sense what our capacities are for each of the different artists, so we try to calculate that. Our MCs tell us, you know, when the venues are full, at what time, and we can kind of triangulate and say how many real people were actually on site at one time. We know our crowds change over during the day, from a family, more family oriented during
to
the
a
day,
more party atmosphere
to more, you know, adult in the evenings. So we last year we estimated about 160,000 visits. You know, pared down to the number of times people visit, comes to about 70,000-80,000 unique people. And last year, we garnered about $3.8 million in economic impact. And that's a whole host of things.
Yep.
And that's from tourist expenditure, new expenditures brought into this community that otherwise wouldn't exist if the festival didn't exist.
That's right.
In addition to that, or part of that, is almost $500,000 of direct spend that the festival makes locally when it's operational.
And t-shirts and merch and all that kind of
stuff. All of those things, majority of which is sourced locally.
Yep.
And then the locals spend additional amounts that they maybe otherwise wouldn't have spent had there not been a festival. And that's over $3 million in local spend as well.
Yeah, so that's sometimes people don't realize that.
And that's done by design. You know, one of the reasons we're in downtown Kitchener is so that we can have a very direct impact, a positive impact on this part of our region. You can hold festivals and fields. And you can hold festivals in those locations, and they'll have an impact. But we felt that we can have a much more positive and direct impact by having a festival set in an urban area.
And it works really well with the three stages.
And the park setting, and
the park setting,
everything's different.
It works so well. Each stage has its own identity. How long does it take you to curate this festival? How do you pick the acts? I'm curious about this.
Well, we have a wonderful artistic director. His name is Claude Cloutier.
Yep.
He listens to a ton of music. He receives a ton of solicitations from all sorts of agents and artists and listens to as many as he can. He tries to, and we encourage him to attend other festivals and other board members. We have a volunteer board of directors and a very small staff. We encourage all of them to attend other festivals and put suggestions on the table. But ultimately, he's the arbiter of what the festival's makeup will look like. So some years it may be direct on Chicago, very strong Chicago blues influence. Sometimes it can be a little more folk oriented. Yep. Sometimes last year one of our headliner was Steve Earle.
Yeah, so that's right.
And probably one of the best songwriters in the 20th and 21st centuries. And
definitely that.
You know, some people say, well, that's not blues, but when you listen to the nature of his topic, what he's writing about, what he's experienced,
yeah,
it's very much sort of a country style blues.
Yes.
And yeah, and his subject matter is definitely within the blues tradition. And he's one of the best artists.
I love him.
He was amazing. So,
he is amazing.
So we're not afraid to bend the genre a little bit.
Yeah.
But we're not going to step out.
Like the Ottawa Jazz Festival just has the Mahones playing there. Like they mix all the music genres, which is crazy.
And those festivals are wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful music festivals. We're committed to, you know, if you want to describe the blues as being a railway track, we're going to make sure that our artistic car has at least one wheel on that, on one of those tracks.
Good analogy. Can you talk a little bit about the workshop stage themes? Like there's the British Invasion. There's a few like really interesting because they also draw their own unique crowds.
Yeah, the workshops are kind of, they're really intimate performances, and some of the workshops, you know, allow for some interaction between the audience and the artists,
mm-hmm,
and some are more, you know, there's a little more explanation around what the artists are playing, and some are just themed so that you can create some synergy around the type of music and hopefully educate people about some of the origins and some of the playing styles and some of the instrumentation styles that are common to blues. Because part of our not-for-profit's mission is to educate people about this music form, which is really foundational to all popular music that people listen to.
Yeah.
It's foundation of jazz, it's foundation of country, it's foundation of pop and rock and roll, it's foundation
soul,
of hip-hop, soul,
all
R&B.
That stuff.
All of it comes from the blues.
Yeah.
So part of our mission is to preserve without freezing the musical form in amber, because it's evolved as a music form, it's evolving itself.
Yes.
But to educate people about the roots of most of the music that they've listened to all their lives and will be listening to probably for
decades
to come.
It's timeless.
So the workshops provide a little more opportunity to have that type of educational aspect brought to the festival. So in the British Invasion, as we all know, bands like the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Animals, the Kinks, all of them played covers of the blues greats that they were listening to when they were getting pirated or coming off the boats into England, and you know, those types of records were very hard to find and were very coveted by all of those bands.
Yep.
And it influenced all of the early British bands were influenced by those artists. And in fact, in the United States, those artists were languishing, or they were only able to get gigs and work in black clubs, in a black music circuit. And you know, there was Race Records and Race stations, and the nod that these British musicians gave to these amazing artists like Muddy Waters and Howling Wolf and Sonny Boy Williamson and all the greats really enabled a rediscovery of them and their music, and then transported them to Europe for the American Folk Blues series, and suddenly their careers were in a different trajectory, where when they came back to the States, white American college students were starting to listen to the original music,
And
their careers were renewed.
Yeah, I know.
And expanded.
It's
so
fascinating.
It was a really strange dynamic. Otherwise, those bands would have been very popular in their own genre, in their own neighborhoods.
They would, but they needed that extra dimension, and a lot of them discovered it, like the Merseybeat bands discovered it through skiffle and all these old songs, right?
Yep. Yeah, Lonnie Donegan was singing Lead Belly songs.
Yeah, and that's right.
And so people started to connect the dots. And
I've interviewed some of these bands over the years, and they've all told me that. It's like, we found all the old roots music, you know, and that's where
absolutely.
We got our influences from. And I'm like, oh my God, that is so cool. The other thing is, on the other side of the spectrum, you have the Youth Legacy Showcase. Now, this is for promising young blues artists.
Yeah, and I'll talk about the Youth Legacy Showcase first, and then I'll get on to our other two programs that we have for youth, because one of the other missions that we have is to support youth to perform and to engage in this type of music so that there's new players and new people
and a new audience
and new artists to carry this forward. The Youth Legacy Showcase is a showcase that's held in the spring of every year before the festival. It's as much a non-competitive battle of bands as you can make it. Mm-hmm. So we try to support everybody, give all the artists feedback after all the performances have been completed, so that people are supported in their presentations. But we do select a representative from those performances, and that representative is offered a paying gig to open up her main stage. Mm-hmm. So this may be their first paying gig, or it could be their first major paying gig on a major stage with major sound, a major production. We also take them into a recording studio at our expense and record a track that goes on our festival compilation CD.
Is that Got Mojo?
No, that's the Grand River Blues Society CD to promote local blues artists to international labels and international and national clubs, venues, and festivals.
Okay,
which
so
is another project.
Okay,
but it's a cool project.
Yeah. So there's an actual Blues Fest CD compilation?
Every year. Every year except the first two, I believe. No, we're up to 13. I think the first year was the only year we didn't do it. So it was an idea that came out of the first year, and we activated it for year two. So each year, we ask 16, 17, 18 of the blues artists who are performing. You know, some of the majors decline, some... But we get really top rate artists on the CDs, ever since we've done the Youth Legacy, the Youth Legacy has also been one of the tracks on that CD, and we sell it as a fundraiser at a merch booth during the festival.
Great, I didn't realize that.
So that's Youth Legacy, and this year, which is really cool, as a result of becoming a representatives, the group that were selected, the Sons, you wrote the article, great article, by the way, thank you.
I love those guys.
So as a result of being the representatives of the T.D. Kitchener Blues Festival Youth Legacy, they also got a gig at the Waterloo Regional Arts Awards, which was very, very cool. I was at those awards, and man, they rocked it. They just took that audience by the throat and said, we're here
and you can't stop us.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
And they were great. It was electrifying performance.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
So that's one of our youth programs. The other one happens off of the festival season in the schools. And we have a Blues in the Schools program where we bring in blues musical educators.
Okay.
And they do 1 week of performances in the spring and 1 week of performances in the fall to winter schedules in elementary and high schools in the Grand River region, so within the Waterloo region and in the Brantford area. And we've done this now for about 8 years. I think almost 35,000 school kids have had this chance to hear blues music, have it explained to them, have the rhythm explained, the history explained. Connect the dots with the music that they're listening to these forms. It's participatory, it's fun, and it's gone into a lot of schools and it's continuing. And so we've had folks like Fruitland Jackson, who's one of the major Blues in the Schools performers in the States, come up, and he's done it a couple of times here. We've had Terrence Simeon, a Zydeco performer, who did it in some of the French schools, which was really cool. We've had Reverend Robert Jones, who's a fabulous performer from Detroit area, and he's made two or three presentations. And we've also mentored John McKinley, and John McKinley now does many of our presentations in the schools because he now has been watching these performers, and we've been trying to provide skills to him and Matt Weidinger and some other local folks.
They're all mentors now.
We're trying to grow our capacity so we have the ability to do some of the presentations ourselves and some of the presentations with outside folks. So that's part of our mission is to and that total educational piece. The third piece is one that's really driven more by the Grand River Blues Society, and it's happening right now, and that's a blues camp. Campers, you know, they pay a fee and they come to blues camp, and then they learn how to play the music, they learn how to sing, they learn how to perform, they learn how to interact and work as a team. And then the festival provides 2 hours of professional stage space at the BIA on Friday afternoon for the campers to do a recital at the end of Blues Camp.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And there's grandparents there, there's aunts, there's uncles,
all
there's brothers
fans,
and sisters, there's
get,
fans.
That's where they get their start.
It is probably the feel-good performance of the entire festival.
Yeah, I agree. Having been there, I agree with that.
Yeah, so.
Do you have a wish list? Like, would you ever bring in, say, maybe Deep Purple or Jack White, seeing Jack is doing more of the blues type stuff these days?
We've brought in crossover acts, but I'll go back to my railway analogy.
Okay.
There would be some debate, probably internally, about whether some of those acts you listed would actually fit on the tracks. Jack White, I think, depending on what album he's touring, definitely fits solidly on both tracks.
Yes, yeah.
Like, he comes from the blues.
Yes.
Like, that's really where his roots are.
Yeah.
And growing up in northern Michigan, he's experienced the blues and with the manufacturing economy just collapsing in that part of the world. But classic rock acts.
Well, Deep Purple is more like, they're kind of jazz, kind of blues.
We're not adverse to trying to push the envelope on things, but
yeah.
I think we really need to be mindful of our brand.
Yeah.
And in our programming, we were good with challenging people a bit, but we still want to ultimately be true to our brand.
What's your wish list? If you could bring anybody here, who would it be?
Well, I mean, money and availability is always the case, but I mean there's so many wonderful artists that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and some of them aren't very big, and some of them we've had before.
Well, Jordan Patterson is back on the scene again,
and he is, and he's just rejoined the scene recently.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, our festival was fully booked by the time he kind of resurfaced, but I went and saw his show at Cork Hall.
Yeah, me too.
It was fabulous.
Yeah,
and
we did a 1-hour radio show. Well, actually, it was more than an hour; it was an hour and a half.
It was a great show, great band, great sound, and I'm really glad Jordan's back. And
Me too.
Yeah. So there's bands like Jordan. There's bands like Lucky Peterson's with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Working with him has got a bit of a resurgence into his career and the product that's out there and the buzz around Lucky, and we've had Lucky a couple of times, but I think he's somebody who's on my wish list. You know, getting people who are perhaps less. I mean, I could list the obvious ones like the Eric Claptons, the ZZ Tops, and the Jeff Becks, and the folks like that. But that's.
Price range is astronomical.
Price ranges are, and they might be challenging, but one never knows. But it's sort of the quirky band. C6 Steve is somebody I'd love to have here.
Yeah.
And people don't know much about C6 Steve, and there's some people that we can never have here again that we're on our list and never made it, to the finish line. Folks like Gary Moore, Pine Top
mm-hmm.
Perkins.
Oh yeah, Pine Top. I met him years ago.
We had booked Pine
at Lulu's.
We had booked Pine Top, and
well, he didn't. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he had passed.
Yeah.
And
I think he played with Buddy Guy. Is that right?
He played with Muddy Waters. He's played with everybody.
I met him at Lulu's a long time ago. I can't remember who
he was
with.
Amazing, and we were really sad that we weren't able to have Pine Top on our stage. But as you can see from our past programming, we always honor the legends,
which has been dynamite,
and it's important that we do that. And we had Honey Boy Edwards here.
Yeah, Jeff Healey here.
We had Healey here this year. We have Rick Derringer. We had the Winter Brothers.
That was great.
So we've and Mel played the festival every year that he was alive, and Miss Angel will play every year.
to
honor Mel's memory.
Yeah.
And Angel's a fabulous performer in her own right. So, we have a loyalty to the people that actually created this music. So I think some of those quirky performers are some of the people that are on my hit list.
Do you have
C6 Steve is somebody I'd love to see.
C6 Steve?
C6 Steve.
I gotta look him up.
He's very mysterious and mercurial.
Oh, great!
But he's absolutely great.
Do you?
There's also an act we saw Sudbury this year called the Melbourne Ska Orchestra. And ska is a really cool, very British.
Oh, I know.
Jamaican
seen
bluesy
the
bass
and the and madness.
Yeah, and English
music.
Beat and all of that stuff. But it's very blues based and it's got lots of linkages, and so it'd be really cool to get some of that, some rockabilly acts that I've always wanted to see.
Reverend
Horton, he sets it, all of that stuff. So I mean, I can just keep going. Where do you want me to stop?
That's why you're the king of the blues. Do you have a favorite blues band?
I'm not king of the blues.
And why?
Do I have a favorite blues band?
Yeah.
Or
a favorite blues fest, TD Blues Fest moment, and why? Can you think back?
Favorite TD Blues Festival moment. I've got so many. I mean, it's hard for me to pick one. I mean, I think John McKinley stepping on the stage for the first festival, the fact that this was actually happening, was magic.
Huge.
Like we were all hustling, we weren't sure what was going to happen, we weren't sure what we were doing, and we were sort of flying a little bit without a net. It all worked out wonderfully. So that was a really lovely moment to hear that first music come off that stage, and the people, there weren't a lot of them, but they were really digging it, and it grew throughout the day. So that whole first festival was a major event for me.
Can I play a song for you on the radio today?
Sure. Anything by Mel Brown.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rob. I really appreciate this, because I know you're busy.
Yeah.
And I wish you all the best. I'll see you at the...
And you know we're giving the Mel Brown Award to Buddy Guy this year.
I do.
So...
I met him years ago at Lulu's when he played.
Yeah. And Mel opened up, if I recall, that show, and I think they jammed
together.
I think
that's right, yeah.
And my memory is that Mel and Buddy were dueling a little bit, and I think Buddy broke a string and was kind of happy that he did.
It's possible. I just remember him as being a very nice man with the most amazing rings I've ever seen.
Buddy? Oh, yeah. BG.
Cool. Such a nice guy.
I've heard nothing but good things about Buddy Guy. He's quiet.
Yes.
Polite.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemanly, but a terror of a performer.
On the stage. Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's a little bit of Mel Brown chicken fat for Rob Davin, the executive director of the TD Kitchener Blues Fest. And I thought just for fun, it might be kind of fun to play this guy. This is C6 Steve. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Here's some C6 Steve on Coral FM.
Yes, it is. Two Morris Minors and a broomstick. Hubcaps. Got a new record called You Can't Teach an Old Dog New Tricks. This is the song.
C6 Steve, you can't teach an old dog new tricks for Rob Davin, the executive director of TD KW Blues Fest. So if you want more information, and actually before that I played Mel Brown Chicken Fat, and of course Buddy Guy's getting the Mel Brown Award this year, which I think is very apropos. And as I mentioned in the interview, I met Buddy Guy many years ago when he was at Lulu's, a lovely, a very nice man, and well-deserving.